It is Saturday night, October 20th, 2007. Welcome to the Don and Wynn Show. This is Wynn Free and my co-host. We give it to you, Don.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here once again with you folks. Welcome to the Don and Wynn Show. We have a great show for you today, actually.
We do? How do you know?
Huh?
Prophet.
Because you're here.
Do you know the future?
No, actually I don't.
It might be a great show. We'll see. But, you know, actually we have a pro on, and the two of us are amateurs, so I don't know what he's doing here, but we have a guest, an unusual guest.
We do.
He's a little wiry guy with short hair.
That's right.
He used to have short hair.
No hair.
No hair?
Yeah.
Did all your hair fall out, Michael?
No, it just migrated to the sides of my head.
It migrated to the sides, yeah. I see. So your head kind of looks like a flying saucer.
Not unlike one, and I have a new product coming out. You'll see my bumper stickers. It says, "Lose hair now. Ask me how."
Well, it's good to have you with us.
Yeah. Ask me how. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, which Michael knows me for a long time. You know, Michael, should I tell him a little bit about our history?
No, I think that would ruin everything, frankly.
Good. I'll do it anyway. It's my show. I used to be a wandering folk singer in New York City, right?
Yes.
And I went into this bar. This was probably 25, 30 years ago. God, too long. I don't even want to say how long it was.
37 years ago.
I went into a bar in the East Village,
Soho,
and there was this guy singing a song, "Get Out of My Soup." You're not the one to show the. I'm not the one to show the proof to, okay? And I was sitting there, and I kind of liked the song. And I took out my guitar, and I started playing lead guitar behind him, backing him up, you know, kind of uninvited. And so he kept looking at me, sneering, saying, "Get out of my suit. I'm not the one to show the proof to." And that's how Michael and I got to know each other. And then, a little bit later, a few years later, I was like paying my dues, learning how to be a vagabond folk singer. And I thought I was good enough to come to Hollywood. And when I came to Hollywood, I stayed at Michael's house, at Michael's apartment. And he was living...
So you have a history. You guys have some history.
He was living a block. Oh. He was living a block from the beach, and I in Venice. And I used to go out on the beach, and one time when I was taking a walk on the beach, I picked up this woman who I thought needed dinner. I can't remember.
Folks. This show always ends up being about the woman.
Michael ended up marrying her, having a kid, right?
That's true.
And so
I'm finished in this town now after that story.
What's that?
Now I'm finished. My career is finished after that story. Whatever career I may have is gone.
Yeah. Well, what's careers? This is one lifetime amongst many.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
So, do you remember those days, Michael?
Yes, and I'll get even with you for them eventually.
Do you remember Marilyn with bagels?
Yeah. Now I do. You're not afraid we're going to lose your audience if we talk to them about Venice 1970, are you?
Well, actually, those were good old days. Remember?
Yes, those were unusual.
That's when there were hippies and there was innocence and people.
Yeah, that's long gone.
Oh, have you seen the new T-shirt? You know that new T-shirt on one of those websites? It's a news website, but, you know, it says hippie smell, and they're trying to promote it, and they have it right on their index page. And then, of course, there's a donate button right underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And the T-shirt says hippie smell. How do you do that? I mean, I couldn't believe it. This is a mainstream website. I forget the name of it. I mean, I was so stunned when I saw it, I forgot the name.
hippie snow?
No, hippie smell.
Hippie smell.
Smell. You know, like, you know.
I guess, well, that's...
You know, B.O.
there's not enough hippies left to protest.
Yeah, I was stunned. I thought, wow, you know, and then they put a donate button. If any of the audience members out there know the website I'm talking about, because I'm an alternative news freak, so that means I'm going to be humming around all the alternative news sites, and it was probably one of them. And if any of you out there know, email us at don@bbsradio.com or somewhere, email someone, anyone. But let us know, because this is a fact. T-shirt says, hippies smell, and then it has a donate button under it, and it's a mainstream website. I was stunned.
So I started,
and it's been there for months. So, folks, it's not like this is something really quick you'd have missed. It's, yeah.
So I got Michael married, and then I did something else with Michael. But then I got to tell you what Michael did with me, okay? All right.
With you?
Well, with my wife, you know.
Right, right.
The circumstances of my life, because it's pretty amazing how we have tangentially affected each other this lifetime. And you remember what else I did, Michael?
There were probably many things. When pick one.
Do you remember when I do you remember when I sold Cheeseheads?
Yes.
At Susan Ansbach's party?
You sold Cheeseheads.
Yeah.
Cheeseheads.
You remember that, right?
Yes.
I'm not going to tell Don, because he's curious now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You want to know
I have a feeling we're losing people by the thousands with this.
Well, you know what, Michael? We have Hildy. Hildy is here.
Who is here?
Hildy. Hildy is Don's mother.
Hildy, my mother's here? Well, she's always here. But is she here?
Sounds almost like a German lesson. Here.
Yeah, pretty good. She's Austrian.
See? There we go.
Well, my mother's always tuning in because she loves it. I mean, she loves radio. She loves her boys. And the two go hand in hand.
That's great. Well, I wanted to tell you why I wanted to interview you two guys tonight.
Oh, well, thank you. It's about time.
Yeah, Wynn and I, we must have known each other in a previous incarceration somewhere.
In previous incarceration, I like it. You know, didn't the Earth used to be a penal colony?
I've heard that it had on many occasions.
You know, Myers books actually, it says a little bit about that, and I believe that. Actually, that's something I truly believe, because that's something I got in my first meditation about Earth, and it's something I've always understood, just like a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth was a melting pot, and it started out as a penal colony.
Mm.
But anyways.
Yeah.
So, Michael?
Yes.
What is the connection between sit and be fit and flying saucers?
Sit and get fit?
Yeah.
Well, actually...
Sit and get fit.
Yeah.
Like as an SIT and get fit.
Yeah.
And then that has something to do with flying saucers.
No, actually, nothing at all. It's
Michael?
Yes?
Did I inspire that? Was that
No. You may have inspired the sitting part. I don't know.
You could have been part of the hamburger commercial, but I don't know.
Yeah, but didn't I take you out to old age homes when I used to play music?
Actually, that's true.
I used to play music. You know, now, Don, you don't know this. When I was playing music in Los Angeles...
I never knew you played music.
I used to go to rehabilitation homes, or, you know, and I would bring my guitar and play music to all these people sitting in wheelchairs. And then Michael played music also. Keep in mind, we were both musicians. We wrote some songs together, and then...
What instrument, Michael, or just sing?
Pardon me?
Did you just sing, or what instrument did you play?
Well, I play guitar and sing. Wynn and I are both in some aspects of our being, we're singer-songwriters.
Right, right.
And what he's saying is absolutely true. I had forgotten that connection. I didn't know what he was
saying. So you play guitar?
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah.
I love people who play guitar. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I never got any royalties from Sit and Be Fit.
Well, Sit and Get Fit.
Sit and Get Fit.
Well, that's because you had the wrong name off the bat.
I gave my attorney the wrong information.
The wrong name.
Well, the interesting thing is that that program that you're talking about, the Sit and Get Fit, I don't use any music whatsoever in it, but I continue to this day to work with my elder senior people. My oldest student that I worked with was 102. The average age in my classes right now is probably about 84 or 5, and many people in their 90s, and I just help them to use what I call regenerative movement to kind of regain flexibility and circulation.
Wow, that's interesting.
I love it. It's an oasis of sanity in, you know, the L.A. area that I get to go out and work with people.
Wow.
So that's one of the things I do. It's actually the only other kind of official work that I do in addition to the work I'm doing with the Meyer case.
And so what do you exactly do with the Meyer case? Are you, because now I get the impression you work, I mean, are you like a representative of a foundation or a representative of the material, or do you just go out and promote it, or who are you?
Well, I'll explain it to you. I am contractually, if you will, the authorized American media representative, a title that I co-concocted with the folks in Switzerland for the specific purpose of representing their information the way they want it represented. In other
words,
that's one of the issues, as you know, probably, Don, I don't know if Wynn does, but, you know, over the years, many people have brought forth aspects of the Meyer material, some of it less accurate than others. And so I said, look, what I will do is happily represent your information, that is, publish it, present it, talk about it on the radio, do lectures, everything else, as long as I can retain my own freedom of opinion and right to disagree, so that I'm not a shill for this, and I'll be happy to do it free of charge. I won't, charge you anything for that, because I'm, you know, very passionate about this, and I'll keep you guys very much step-by-step apprised of what
I do. Agreed basically to be a spokesperson.
Exactly.
For the Meyer's material.
That's correct.
For free.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Now, that doesn't mean that I don't, if I go and do a lecture somewhere or somebody buys a DVD or a book off my website, then I make money off
of it. Now, did you know him?
Oh, I've been over to meet Billy 8 times in the last 7 years. I was there.
Do you know him?
Well, I think I know him as well as somebody who doesn't live and work with him every day knows him. I've got a very good sense of the man. I've tried to see if he's lying, to be perfectly blunt. I tried to trick him four times in 3 years on a little answer to a question, on a kind of bizarre thing, to see if maybe the answer was going to change time after time. And unbelievably, the answer was literally exactly the same each time without hesitation.
But he stays out of it. He stays out of the limelight.
Yes.
He has other people do his speaking for him.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
I understand this.
Yeah,
he
has the meetings with the Playaren people. He transcribes the information, and other people publish it and all that.
That's interesting, don't you think?
I do, because he's not, he is not here to proselytize, missionize.
Exactly. It's whatever it wants to be.
Well, yeah, the information is specific, but it's up to people to find it or to be found by it in a way that is not aggressive.
Why would he not? I'm just going to throw some hard-hitting ones at you. I'm not really. Why would he not present the material himself?
Well, he initially, early on,
because he still could.
Well, in the 70s, he did a couple presentations, but part of the problem literally is this: that since 1964, there have been 21 documented attempts on his life. I've talked to witnesses to a dozen of those attempts, maybe more.
How old is he now?
He's 70.
And he's still got a lot of kick and vip and vinegar. He could actually present this material himself.
Well,
out of choice now, regardless of the choice, mm-hmm. He would rather not.
Yes, exactly.
That's interesting. I'm not saying, it's just interesting. I've just never run across that in this sort of a type of information.
Well,
that to me is odd.
Well, here's the thing: it's very odd. Especially, look, if as I claim, I make certain claims here, and I claim that to my knowledge, it's the only scientifically proven, still ongoing UFO contact case with a human being of Earth that's actually now spanned over 65 years.
Is it ongoing though?
Yes. Yes. He probably, my guess is that he had a contact 2 days ago, but certainly it is ongoing.
Now, is this the type of contact where it would be physical or mental?
Well, though he has had and sometimes has telepathic contacts, the majority of the contacts actually are physical, where he is with the people. And they
gotcha.
And they are human beings. They're fully human, in what we'd call three-dimensional bodies, but they have And, you know, we can put an allegedly banner above all this so people can consider this themselves. This is simply my point of view on it.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the information, they are simply of a higher vibratory frequency. So while we are both fully human, they're not in light bodies or anything like that. While we're both fully human, their vibratory rate is higher and not compatible for the most part with us at our current evolutionary level. And one way that I sometimes try to explain this so it doesn't sound real snooty.
Oh, trust me. You know, it's funny about the Myers material. I've read it all.
Okay.
And many people I know have read it all. I read everything. Only because I'm stupid to begin with. And I'm usually stupid at the end of it anyways. But I read it. And it's pretty, I mean, it's material that's gotten out there about as much as the Barney Hill and Betty Hill, right? I mean, you'd say pretty comparable.
Well, in a sense, it's been out there more, and in a sense, it's been out there less. What I mean by
that... Well, comparable.
Yeah, the thing is that the depth of information, what isn't known, and maybe I don't know if you guys know it...
Well, depending on which way you go, the depths of the Betty Hill case had a lot more factual contact photographs up to the minute, play-by-play, whereas the Billy Myers was less of that, but more into the universal aspect of things.
Well, let me add to that. Actually, there is no UFO case that has as much physical evidence as the Meyer case. He took over 1,000 clear daytime photos of up to 4 craft. We have 7...
But where are they all?
Oh, well, lots of those photos is right there in Switzerland.
But is there a place somebody could actually go online and say, all right, 4,000 photos, I'm going to check them out.
1,000.
1,000 photos, I'm going to check them out. I know he's got a lot of photos over there. I've seen a bunch of them, but
right. They're
not his.
Right.
A lot of them are from all over the place.
Well, no, if you go to my website, They Fly, my website,
mm-hmm. You
will find... A small
or photo. They Fly. It's not The Fly. It's They Fly.
Theyfly.com.
Right.
You'll find a small photo gallery. You'll find, if your browser handles it, you'll see also a film clip. We've just finished producing a new feature-length documentary film on the case, which will have lots of his photos, films, a clip on the analysis of the metal samples, the sound recordings, the laser pistol.
More data than's ever come out of anywhere from any place for any reason, right?
Wow, he's published 24,000 pages of information.
That's a lot. Again, now let's look at the other side of the spectrum. Here you got a contactee who's went nuts. He's got it all.
Oh, he's
got all the data, all the information, all that about anything you could ever want, and here's more.
And more because
interesting. Now that's a whole new interesting side of things.
Yeah.
When you're given everything,
yes.
Isn't that kind of suspect?
If you guys want to hear something unusual, 2.5 years ago, I went over there. We saw. I was there with. I'd arranged for a film crew from London to come over that was doing a documentary on paranormal stuff, and they wanted to cover Little and Meyer. And they were going to do like a 5-10 minute interview with him, and they were there for a couple hours. And at the end of it, someone said to Billy, hey, why don't you show them the handprints on the car? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah.
Interesting, though, but you say, because we know Billy's track record. We know Billy Meyer's history.
Well, do
we know, well, kind of from what was stated out there and pieced together and his track record, list, literally how he grew up in the military and with the government
and what
he did prior to actually he did some pretty interesting type of work, supposedly, for the government. It worked that few people actually have the constitution to do. But
yeah. Needless
to say, that all being said and done, he was of a vibration the Pleiadians quite enjoyed. I would have to say through all the reading of all the information in the book, they quite enjoyed his vibration. Now that's interesting.
Well, they taught him how to work with his vibratory frequency so that...
Right, but they in the book quite literally state that we are not even close.
Right.
And that's why they're leaving again, and they're not going to be here for a while again until Earth goes from really ape-like spirituality beyond.
Yeah.
Really. That's kind of the flow of it. But that's interesting, isn't
hundreds
it?
Hundreds of years.
Right, but that's interesting when they took a man who's been through the various societal mechanistic matrixes of our society and then said, hey, I like this guy's vibration. We not only like it, we love it. And we're going to take him to another universe and even tell him that we absolutely love it. And yet they were not high enough, humanity is not high enough to be of that vibration. Now, for a contactee, because he was already a contactee very early on before they ever taught him how to raise his vibration, right?
Well, his contacts with them started when he was 5 years old. And so what happened was they taught him, starting when he's 5 year old, boy,
but then why did he get into the profession he did? Question.
Which one do you mean?
Well, they say that he worked as literally a hired hand for the government, right?
No. We show this information on this in the film here. It's a kind of interesting thing, Don and Wynn, because for a while he traveled through 42 countries.
But that's absolutely wrong. So all the facts and all the data behind that would be wrong.
Well, let me fill it in for you so you understand what it actually was that he did, because it was pretty radical.
Pretty radical would be like an understatement.
Yeah, but wasn't for the Swiss government. What happened during his travels for a period of maybe 10 or 11 years in the 50s and 60s, he did over 300 and some various odd professions and jobs, and we can relate to it. One of the things was, and I think it was in Pakistan, he worked for various police agencies to apprehend and bring in mass murderers.
Right, I understand that.
And he was known as the Phantom.
Right, I understand that too.
Yeah.
And when you get a nickname in that profession, look, folks.
He was a heavy hitter.
I'm going to tell you, when you get a nickname in that profession, you're an insider.
Yeah, but at the time he was, if you will, then an insider in a Middle Eastern police unit bringing in criminals. But
police then, unit.
Yes.
Criminal investigatory unit.
Yeah.
Probably, correct.
You know, more like, you know, I don't know if that a bounty hunter is the right word.
Bounty hunter would be almost.
But I don't think he did this for money. I think this was some other kind of a thing. And
it wouldn't be passion, would it?
Well, the passion.
Now, again, no. What I'm trying to get to is this. Here's what I'm trying to come to.
Mm-hmm.
How well do you really know him?
Well, it depends on what the question.
Do you know him as a friend?
Yes.
Now, Michael. This, and I want to get back to this because this is what I'm more interested in. You. Because you're the guy we're interviewing, you're the guy I'm interested in, you're the guy I like. Michael, I like you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I do.
You're not going to find me my fourth wife, are you?
Well, you know, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, but seriously, I like you. So how did you get started? When, how did he get started into all this? Maybe you can ask a few questions. I'd like to know kind of like how it all got started for you.
Okay. You want me to answer that?
When? I mean, do you know what I'm trying to ask?
I don't know how he got started in it. I remember I used to come over his house years ago, and he had all these books.
I mean, who's Michael?
I'm looking for him.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Let me throw in a quick question here.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And so Billy Mayer.
Meyer. Yeah.
Meyer has got a little Jewish twang to it, right? Okay. Billy Meyer was essentially a bounty hunter, so to speak, but probably didn't get paid much for it, but had a passion for bringing in criminals, right?
That's an element. That was one of the things he did in his life. Yes.
Okay. Now let me just check.
No. One of the great things, he brought a gun. Aboard a Pleiadian ship, correct?
Don, let me finish my line of questioning.
Yeah, let Wynn have a go at it here.
Sorry.
Thank you. I mean, otherwise, you. So, now, if I recall, doesn't Billy Mayer believe he was Jesus in his past life?
No.
No?
Let me explain that, because this is one of the things that's highly controversial in the case, and it will be no less controversial after I explain it, but let me do my best. Here's what the whole connection to quote-unquote Jesus is about. The information in the case is quite specific and says there was no man named Jesus or Jesus Christ. There was a man named Emmanuel, spelled actually with a J according to this old alphabet. And Emmanuel. And
right.
Emmanuel, who was foretold in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah and briefly mentioned in the first chapter of Matthew, was the man who was given this false name and around whom the whole Jesus Christ thing was formed in order to create a religion. So let me give you the connection, because Wynn is actually asked the $64 million question here in terms of some of the core of this case, even more important in some ways than what Meyer did.
Right.
Okay, so let me give it to
you. Hey, I'm interested. I didn't even think to ask that question.
Well,
I would never have known the question to ask.
All right. Well, let me give you just a little bit on this to try to set up.
I mean, what he asked was, that blew my mind. You said he thought he's Jesus?
Right. So let
me
give you the answer. According to the information in the case, that's the banner we have over this. Long, long, long ago, there was a mission on this planet that started very long ago, but most recently, somewhere in the neighborhood of 13,500 years ago, a very spiritually advanced spirit or spirit form began incarnations on this planet for the purposes of trying to positively direct humanity back to what they call the true teachings of the creation. Definition: the creation is what we would call the universe, and what people sometimes mean when they speak of the spirit or falsely attributing to the word God. God always referred to specific humans who were here. Okay, I don't want to get too far afield so we can actually see what the answer to Wynn's question is. This prophet came in as Enoch or Henoch. After the Henoch or Enoch incarnation, there was, I believe, and I may get the chronology wrong, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the same spirit reincarnating, playing out the role of prophet under the guidance of the forefathers of the present-day Pleiaron. The fifth prophet in that lineage was called Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the man who indeed was crucified, put into the tomb for 3 days, but who survived the crucifixion and went on after emerging from the tomb with the help of healers from India and Gabriel, his true father, along with the earth woman Mary. He went on with his mother and his trusted friend and scribe Judas and others, traveled through numerous countries and ended up in Srinagar, India, where when Mary died when he was around 45 or 48, he married an Indian woman, not Mary Magdalene, an Indian woman, bore numerous descendants, one of whom took the true writings that Judas had written down, returned to Jerusalem 70 years after the crucifixion or so, and sequestered those ancient scrolls in the abandoned tomb of the crucifixion. In 1963, Meyer and an ex-Greek Orthodox priest led telepathically.
Can I stop you there?
Yeah,
so
anywhere you want, because I started rolling.
So you actually, the crucifixion to Myers and the date and all that, it's all real?
The crucifixion and all that stuff?
Right.
It did occur, but
You're saying it did occur?
Yes, but the man did not die. And actually, Meyer's not the first.
Interesting. So, okay, no, that would make sense. So you're saying he was crucified but didn't die.
There's actually a two.
Actually, that's what I adhere to. I'm just saying that out for anybody who's listening, that I actually understand that to be truth, and I believe that.
Okay,
and that was Billy Mayer.
Well, right, hold on.
No, that's actually been written about many, many books that understand that.
But here's a real distinguishing thing. In 63, with this Greek Orthodox priest, Meyer and he, on the outskirts of Jerusalem, found the ancient tomb, dug their way in, unearthed the stones on the floor, and found four separate, resin-encrusted, animal skin-wrapped scrolls, all in Aramaic.
You're kidding.
No, and it gets better and better. So the scrolls were entrusted to the Greek Orthodox priest because he also, in addition to speaking a Middle Eastern language, he read Aramaic and he read and wrote German. Over a 7-year period, he translated about a third of these scrolls into German and sent them
off. Now, he seems to have had... Wow, okay. Now keep going.
All right. So there's many other... I'll try to not give too many details that take us far afoot. Suffice it to say, in 1978... Meyer publishes in German for the first time what's called the Talmud Emmanuel.
Right, because that's interesting. A guy who works his way in the military, in the government, so to speak, ends up having quite an illustrious...
Yeah.
Illustrious, I might add, with a capital
Ill.
I. Ill, yes. Amazing. So now he's got his hands not only, he's a bona fide contactee, but he's now working with ancient
right.
religious
well, spiritual
documents.
Now. Yeah, now here's
right
the thing.
Now, right?
Well,
that's
well,
interesting. I would say that that combo right there is powerful.
Okay, now, wait till you get the rest of this part. This document purports to be the original writings of the original teachings of the man called Emmanuel, then falsely called Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but that would be less to me. That would almost be minimalistically less as powerful
well,
as the fact that he actually was in that capacity.
Oh yeah, and
that
more.
Blows my mind.
Okay, well, I'll jump a little. We mentioned five prophets, from Enoch to Emmanuel. The sixth prophet, the same spirit incarnating again, was Muhammad. Muhammad's teachings, just like the teachings of Emmanuel, were falsified and ultimately led also to, as we know today, various cults, some of which are quite horrendous, the fundamentalist, you know, Islamic radicals. But Muhammad had been a true prophet, and his teachings were rewritten and falsified.
I think most even intelligent religious people in the Catholic order or any other order understand this and know it because it's just true. Anybody does even 10 minutes worth of studying a day on the internet for a week is going to figure out what religion really is.
Yes.
When it comes to...
Don.
Islamic religion, there's very misconstrued understandings of all the religions.
Don, I have a problem here, okay?
Yes.
James Gilliland is Elijah. Everybody knows that.
Is a who?
James Gilliland.
Was who?
Elijah?
Not even close.
He's not Elijah Wood. I just saw that kid on the movie the other day.
Wind's breaking up.
When? When? You don't speak up.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
How do I look?
let me tell you something. If you want to know about the Gilliland connection here, I'll be happy to tell you. 3 years ago or so, James Gilliland, I met him up in San Francisco, and he gave me a videotape of his UFO thing, and he said, I'd like you to ask Billy Meyer what this is. So I brought it to Switzerland, and I saw Billy when I got there, and I said, here's a videotape from a guy in the States who wants your opinion. And I figured maybe he'd get back to me in a few months on it. 3 days later, he pulled me over, and he said, would you like to know what this tape is about? And I said, yeah. He says, come in the office here, a little, sit on the couch. He said, yesterday, Ptah and I watched the entire video. Ptah is supposed to be the main leader of the Pleiaren race.
Well, of course.
Okay?
Of course.
He says, we will tell you the following. He says, and he put the tape back on. He says, this is what Ptah said. These lights that are seen here at night, all these objects, these UFOs are not extraterrestrial. They are secret U.S. military craft that had been in development at Area 51. There is no extraterrestrial connection whatsoever in this area, and the man himself is not in contact with any intelligences that are, you know, off this earth. And he told me some more details. I came back and I sent an email to James Gilliland saying, you asked for the
That's amazing.
Feedback, yeah. Here it is. And he got very, very angry about it and was sending me nasty emails, which I fully had the capacity to play tennis with him. Mm. And he said, well, you should come up here and you'll see these for you. I said, look, James, I don't care about UFOs, strange as it may sound. I've seen UFOs. What am I going to do with UFOs? I said, if you really think you're in touch, having, quote-unquote, contact with extraterrestrials, just send me some content, some information. I said, you know, the Meyer case is very rich in this. We have scientific information, prophetic information, up the wazoo. Send me something. If I traded two emails with him, I traded 20, and not once did he send me as much as one sentence to go on. And this is The Meyer case is unpopular, especially in UFO circles, for this reason. What they're saying is, with the exception of a couple of...
Well, it really goes against about every channeling in the normal mainstream is stating right now. I mean, just for example, the Great White Brotherhood, they're evil. Now, every channeler on the internet would state exactly the opposite. I could go into lots of contradictions. Regardless of that, I mean, I don't care. I don't care to go with the normal mainstream anyways. That's why I started what I do. But it's interesting how from inception through to fruition, the information and the man and all that came about and all of where it's all leading and why, and he is like the one man out.
Well,
in many respects.
Can I give you a very powerful, to me, example of how far out this is?
Yeah.
In 1978...
Love it.
Okay, October... I think it's October 15th or something, 1978. Meyer is having a contact with this woman, Semyaze. They were on her ship, and they are in front of the planet Jupiter, and he's describing, and he says, well, this is interesting. It's like you said, Jupiter has rings like Saturn does, and he starts to describe some of the aspects of Jupiter, and then he... describes the moon Europa. He says, and that's Europa. It's encrusted in ice. And look at that, must be Io. And if I recall correctly, he says, Io is the most volcanically active body in the solar system. He goes on to give scientific details about 1978. Now,
he does. He goes on to give a lot of scientific data that I would have thought we would have collected a decade prior.
Well, we didn't.
I would have thought we did.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, in the real scientific community and astronomy community, I would have thought we would have gathered the information that he pointed out in that respect a decade earlier.
Well, here's how it happens. He 5 months later, the Voyager probe got to Jupiter and for the first time confirmed the existence of the rings, one, the fact that Europa was encrusted in ice, two, and the most important discovery, according to NASA, of the entire Voyager mission was that Io was the most volcanically active
body. But it was interesting. It almost followed exactly what they found, right?
They did. And here's a real kicker.
That is a kicker.
Wendell Stevens, who was the lead investigator in the case, had Meyer's information on Jupiter, along with 10 other specific predictions that hadn't yet occurred. He had that information in his possession. He was coming back to the States. He had it in his possession on March 9th, 1979. 3 days later, on March 12th, 1979, NASA makes the announcement.
No, that's such a coincidence. It's happened so often, it almost...
I know
there's lots. That's the beauty of the synchronicities. They're almost like synchronistic.
Yeah, but there was another kicker on the Jupiter thing, because in the same contact, he describes a ring of Jupiter that is composed of ionized sulfur particles.
Yeah.
Let's remember, this is a Swiss farmer.
Right.
And he's describing this ring. He says, as I recall, this is composed of ionized sulfur particles that are drawn from the debris coming out of the volcanoes in Io. In 1980, Science Magazine published that. Yes. Published that as the latest discovery from the photographs of the Voyager mission.
Popular Science.
No, Science Magazine. And they discovered, which is more of a science journal.
Right.
But it goes on. In 1950s, and he talked about two planets beyond Pluto. He described accurately the terrain and tons of details about Venus before the probes got there. But this is the
Don't
thing.
You love that name, Venus?
Pardon me?
I love that name.
Venus, yes.
Venus.
So there is, there's a host of very discreet scientific information, very precise, not anecdotal, not generalized, details. And on my website...
But I have a question for you.
Yes.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It seems to be documented. What he stated, many of his predictions, right on. And a lot of it with what NASA came out shortly thereafter. Correct. Amazing coincidence. In fact, maybe a little too amazing.
How about 1958?
What about a little too amazing? What do you think?
Well,
maybe like 200 instead of 2WO?
No.
No? I mean a little?
Well, it's
maybe just a little.
Too amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's all amazing, but I mean, is that a quantum leap?
I don't know.
I mean, how far quantum leap do you got to go?
Go back to 1958 when he predicts two U.S. wars with Iraq, the second one under a president who will be the son of a former president, and the second war leads to an unbelievable disaster. That's number six.
Yes, correct. He made some pretty incredible documented initial predictions. But many people have.
Well, if you can show me anybody who's made any and all of the specific accurate information and published it before it occurred, as Meyer has, I would be interested. I'm talking specifics. And I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds in Switzerland in the books that they
have.
Well,
you know, I'll tell you, how about the futurist? What's his name?
Nostradamus?
No. The current futurist. Max. The guy who's the Maxwell Institute or Max Institute? Max Institute? What's his name?
Max Planck? I don't know. Max Planck.
No.
I don't know who you mean.
He's done a lot of predictions on a lot of different things.
You don't
things.
Mean Michael Scallion?
No. Scallion, yeah.
Oh, no. He's nowhere.
Scallion, right. Michael Scallion.
Base. Not even at first base. No, in order to, I have posted for free on my website.
How about Edgar Cayce?
Edgar Cayce was a true prophet, you know, a seer, and he did an enormous amount. As a matter of fact,
so you would consider Myers more a seer?
Well, no. I would say Meyer is truly more of a prophet.
Prophet?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you see, that's not a glamorous term.
It's no, it's not. But I'll tell you, it's a hell of a term. There's another guy who uses it.
Who?
Well, you know, I heard it said on, I don't want to say, but I think Bill Deagle calls himself a modern day prophet.
Bill,
am I incorrect?
Who?
Bill Deagle.
I don't know him.
Dr. William Deagle.
I've seen
he also worked with the government. He also worked in various aspects with the government in pain mapping and morphogenic pain, all sorts of things, and UFOs and contactees and all, I guess, everything. And he had the term, or labels himself, a modern-day prophet. So Myers, under similar circumstances, you're saying he's a prophet. Or he doesn't come out in public, but you're kind of giving him that label.
Well, that's a label, actually, that has been used.
It's just the synchronicities. Mind blow me. I love synchronicities. You know where you get your facts, man? Honestly, Billy, you get them from the synchronicities. You get them from the love that the synchronicities show you. Because the synchronicities are just information repeating itself often enough that you finally get it.
Oh.
Unless you're next to the TV, of course. But I like MTV. Or MTW. What's MTW? Wynn, will you explain MTW?
What is MTW?
Go ahead, Wynn.
What's MTW? I don't know.
MTW. You're the one who told me about it.
I don't know. I have Alzheimer's. I'm not sure if it's Alzheimer's or ADD.
Yeah, you can't remember.
And with all the drugs we're all on in this society, I'm still trying to figure out which one's right for me.
It depends on my relative
age. But you know
age.
What? I'm finally starting to realize that after all the commercial advertisements, something's right for me. I mean, one of those drugs has to be right for me. Something out there that they're advertising has to make me feel better. I got to get on it. Right? Because my life just isn't what's pictured on the boob tube. So something that big pharma's trying to sell me is going to do me good. I feel it. I mean, I've actually been around TV long enough to believe it.
Listen, I have an important question here. Was Billy having an affair with Semyazi?
I've never actually heard that he was.
Now, I've never heard that either. Not in anything that I've ever read.
I think it's the kind
of There's some rumors out there.
Yeah, I mean, people would say that. I mean, if you allegedly a beautiful woman from the stars and an Earthman, and you know, they would have to have. But I think that their purpose was other than that. If you have read or if you have a chance to read any of their conversations, you'll see there was obvious what I would call true affection between them and respect. I didn't ever detect in the transcripts, but who knows what was real, I had never detected that was the direction that they're going in. But I can't say. I don't know.
Now,
hold on.
No, wait, Don, I've listened very little of this. You're hogging the show.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yes.
You know, you have one of your hosts that also believes they've met with Sam Jassy. Did you know that?
Who's that?
Dr. Bell.
Oh, Fred Bell.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I enjoy it all. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just stirring the pot here. I want to see what Michael says.
Here's my answer.
I mean, maybe we have
Michael just answered you. He said, well,
no,
he's my answer.
I'll give you more
answer. Now, that was very subtle.
No, here's some more answer. Think about this logically. Billy had a family. He has three children. He had a wife. He's remarried now. There were people who have worked with him for decades. None of them, including his family members.
But let me ask you this.
Let him finish, Don.
Sorry.
Be polite.
I apologize.
Okay.
Forgive me. I'm overexcited.
None of them, including his family members,
were ever allowed to meet any of the ETs, though some of the people saw them accidentally either outside or in Billy's office. Many of the people there have seen the ships. We've interviewed a bunch of the people. Five other people photographed the ships. But nobody on the planet besides Meyer has met with these people. There is an exception. There is a retired UN diplomat, a woman, a Cambodian woman, who as a young girl was in the Ashoka Ashram in Morali, India, when Meyer was studying Buddhism there, and when Meyer was photographing up to eight of the craft from another woman named Asket, and the woman Asket came down numerous times and talked with Billy, also came into this woman's room at night. We have the interview with her on the video, and she met the E.T. woman, Asket, when she was a child. And this is a woman who spent 14 years in the Cambodian mission at the U.N., who tried to put all the UFOs...
At the U.N. Now, I have a question, though.
Sure.
Now, here's, of course, you got Fred Bell. I don't know him all that well, but he's a part of this, and he's been a host forever and a day.
Right.
And he watches talk. I mean, you can meet with him, go out with him. He's there. He presents his own material. He invites you into his home, no matter who you are, when you are, what you are. Oops. And I'll tell you, it's interesting because he actually puts himself out there in a transparent way now.
That doesn't make his story authentic.
No, you're correct.
Yeah.
You're correct. There are two different interesting things here going on.
Right.
I do have, I got to say this. I love the Myers material. I love it because it makes you think. It makes you think because
that's
it goes contradictory to so much. And yet there's so much left unanswered. And so many more questions than there are answers.
Well, I don't know. There's an awful lot of answers in that material, but ultimately, Don...
But are they answers?
Yes.
Or are they just...
Well, what's the question? Let's start with some questions and see if they're...
Well, again, he's basically giving you an entire worldview, religious view, concept view on how things are, what they are, the way they are, and all things time, present, past, and future. And he's giving it to you in a nutshell...
No, he gives it in great detail.
I really, but he also gives it to you in a nutshell.
In some ways, I guess.
In many ways, he gives it to you in a nutshell. Because when I say it's a nutshell, it's like an indoctrination.
No, I wouldn't.
Or an understanding of.
That's better.
Okay, an understanding of.
What are some of the questions that are unanswered? Because that's true. I'm sure there's plenty of unanswered questions. What are some of the ones that are unanswered for you? If I can source.
I got to tell you, when I read through it, I go, yep, 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 no.
Yeah.
Yep, 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 no. I did the same thing with the raw material. I do it with all the material, from the Seth material to the raw material to the Course in Miracles, which I outlined every page. You ought to see it. My thing's been reread and reread more than the Bible, and I don't get that damn thing. I mean, I like it, but I'll tell you, if I'm going to rely on it for history... I probably shouldn't major in history. Okay. So, I love it all. I'm a guy who truly knows nothing and just trying to figure my way through it all. And there's a lot of data out there coming at us from all angles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun to be a part of it all and try to make sense of it all. You know?
I agree. That's the lifelong...
Billy Myers just... it's like one of those... corners you can go to and see if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if it does, you ring with it and you follow it. And if it doesn't, you don't.
Yeah.
There's so much out there. One thing is, I mean, you always got to wonder first, Billy Myers. And then you got to understand the Pleiadians. And then you got to understand the associations that that's a part of, and what that means for the earth, and how you're a part of it, and what that all means. And one thing, you know, it's all got to kind of click for you. I mean, I don't know what it all means to anybody else, and I certainly as hell don't know what it means for me. So if anybody wants any advice from me, I can't give it.
There you go.
But I love it.
Let me get, when did that help to fill in anything at all for you there?
No.
Okay.
We do have to, Mike,
mm-hmm.
We're going to close this show out.
Okay.
And because we always call in the light before the next show, and we're going to let you go.
Great. I appreciate
it. And Michael, thank you for being a part of this show. I truly thank you. And I'm going to close out the last few minutes. I'm going to close out with Wynn.
You know, John.
What?
I didn't bring this up in the show, and I was going to share it. I'll just say before we say goodnight to Michael, that if it wasn't for Michael, I wouldn't be doing the show tonight. I would not have written my book.
Well, theyfly.com, correct?
If it wasn't for gay sex and one screws, I wouldn't have written my book. So,
well, you should have told me you knew him.
We'll bring this up on another day, okay?
You know that? Yeah. Hey, but anyways, I do have to say, if you are interested in this sort of information and where it can take you, because believe me, folks, it's an eye-opener. It's They Fly.
And I appreciate it.
And it's Michael Horn.
Michael?
Yeah, Wynn.
Give them your website, and then They Fly, right, or something like that?
They Fly.
They Fly.com.
Yeah, and you can.
Now, wait a second. If anybody in there is in a convalescent home, or 85 years or 90 years old or something, and needs to have a customized exercise program, give them that website.
That one will set them free.
Right.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate the time and the opportunity. I hope we can do it again. And, Wynn, great to talk to you after all this time.
Absolute pleasure, my friend.
All right. Thank you. I
thank
you. I'll let you guys go then.
Okay.
Bye now. Bye, Wynn.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye, Michael.
Okay, folks, the reason we're doing this, just Wynn and I, is because my father passed. And it's something I love Wynn, and I love him. And so I wanted just to be he and I today. My father passed away not too long ago. It was a beautiful thing. Beautiful. And I am so thankful. You have no idea. Don't weep for me, because I would dance a jig right now since the moment it happened. I'm so beautifully happy in the way it happened, the way he wanted it, and all the beautiful things that it all happened. So let's call in the light. We only got, we'll eat into the next show, Wynn, if we don't do it quick, and I apologize, because I really wanted time for this.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll do it.
And I'm sorry, Michael, thank you for being a part of the show, but this is something, Wynn, I love you. Let's do this together. This is for you, Dad.
Okay, are we on?
We're on.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the light to surround and protect Don, myself, Michael, all our listeners, and that any negativity be taken right now to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy through our bodies to the center of the earth. And right now, those of you who are free-willing, we create a group energy amongst us all. Right now, we meet in the ethers, in the dimensions beyond our physical body, and we invite those higher group souls, service to others, to join with us. And particularly, we surround the earth with this healing vibration and this light energy. And we ask particularly that any of you who have anyone to put in this energy for healing, that take a few seconds of silence. And particularly, we send this energy to Don's father, who's on the other side, and ask for assistance in his transitions. On that note, we say goodnight to everyone.
Wynn, thank you for doing that for me, and I really appreciate that. I really do. Thank you.
My pleasure. And good night to Hildy.
A fantastic show, folks. Good night, Mother. Good night,
Wynn. Thank you, Michael, for being on the show.
Michael, thank you. We hope to have you on again. It was a fantastic, eye-opening show. And, folks, we're coming up next with a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. You know, I love all the programming on our network, but this particular show, it'll light a fire in your fireplace. It's gentle and it's fast. It's informative. It's by the Zany Mystic. It's coming up next, so stay tuned.
I love you.